What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for remakes, reboots, sequels, adaptations, why we're doing it now, if it's still relevant, or if there's just a fun cash grab happening. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, we are getting into the remake of the beloved 1993 hit classic Super Mario Brothers, a film that defined adaptations in video games, comic books, and everything alike, which is all a lie. This is, in fact, an adaptation of the Super Mario Brothers video game franchise, although we will talk a bit about that 93 movie that I think I and I alone like.
John Leguizamo stands behind it too. He's very angry.
I think it's a good time. It's got a very Dick Tracy TMNT vibe. It's weird. It's just there's nothing
it
else
knows
like
what
it.
It's doing. It knows what it's doing, and the visual effects for that, I will say, I will stand behind to this day, are impressive.
Production designer of Blade Runner. There's some cool stuff in there. It's not as bad as everyone says. I don't think we need to go Seth Rogen on it about how it was the first time you learned a movie could be bad. I don't know that that's the take.
Especially at that time, like, there are a lot worse films, Seth.
Sir, you made Green Hornet. Why don't we take a breath? But we'll get into a lot of other stuff. Our thoughts on the movie, how it does as an adaptation, why the story is relevant and evergreen, this whole is it a family movie and we should forgive it argument that I'm hearing more and more of, and this colossal box office. So let's get started. Terrence, what did you think of the movie?
So I have to take this sort of separately in two phases. One, as a person who like critiques movies and person who is like a Nintendo video game fanboy. The video game fanboy of this loved every single moment of this. Like from start to finish, they were speaking to me on so many levels. I was like, yep, cool. Super Smash Brothers, there it is. Mario Kart, there it is. Luigi's Mansion, there it is. They are checking off all the boxes of everything that has sort of existed in Mario fandom. And I was like, it's a good time. And I enjoyed every piece of that. The film critic side of me, or the person who is a little bit more critical of this, sits there and like, what's the story here? Are we just going through the greatest hits of everything that Nintendo's existed? I mean, I guess that's fun, sure, but I don't connect to anything. I don't feel any heart to anything. You're not getting me invested into this story, which is, I think, is a hard thing for me to do. Sorry, for repeat viewings or to like actively tell people, hey, you should go see this movie. Does it check off all the boxes for a good kids film? Sure, it does. But it reminds me a lot of, like, though I took my nephew to go see March of the Penguins movie, Penguins of Madagascar. So it was a spinoff of Despicable, of
Madagascar.
And I watched that movie. My nephew loved it, ate it up, chewed it up and down. And I was sitting here like, oh, it's terrible. Like, there's no story. It's just a bunch of things happening. That's a lot how I feel about this Mario film. There are a lot of things happening. It gets by more than that movie did because as a Nintendo fan, it knew where to check off those boxes and pull on those heartstrings where I was like, I can forgive that. But when this movie is over, I had fun. When the movie's over with, I'm sitting here like, some things don't add up. I guess it's a good time. But I don't feel the way that I felt about Sonic, which I think Sonic movies, that's what I'm going to use the 1-to-1 for this. Those Sonic movies felt like there's a better heart or at least a little story thread through them, whereas Mario did not. And the biggest part of me, before I give it to you, the biggest part for me is the voice work. And I don't care about Chris Pratt. I know people have an issue with him. I don't care one way or the other. But the voice work of Mario and the voice work of Princess did not work for me, and a lot of this film is carried on the two of their backs. And so whenever it's just the two of them on screen, my brain sort of checked out. Like, I just didn't connect to them. They'd had no chemistry together. It just felt flat. Some of that might be just because, unlike Sonic, Mario, throughout history, doesn't really have a personality, whereas Sonic does. Like, we know who he's, that young upstart teenager, where Mario, we're kind of like, I don't know who he is. And I feel like this film tried to implant the first time that we get a Mario personality, and it just didn't work. Whereas all the secondary characters, the Bowser's, the Donkey Kong's, the Blue Star that is just sadly depressed, all of those things worked, whereas the main two didn't. And so that's what took me out of this film as a whole. Overall, I enjoyed it, but as a critic, when I get to start underneath the shell of it all, it kind of I'm using that term on purpose, underneath the shell of it all, it kind of just felt a little flat for me.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think I was in a similar boat where in the moment watching the movie, I was having a great time. I really was hooked because it is gorgeous. I think that's the first thing to really talk about is like, this is just so pretty to look at. And the way it moves and the way the characters interact. And there are moments, like we don't address Super Smash Brothers directly, but they do attacks that are from that game so seamlessly that I knew that that was their like left A after they've jumped. And those little details are incredible. And some of that was so good that it really is a shame that they don't have much else on the bone, because I really enjoyed Peach as a character. I thought Jack Black's Bowser was great. Kamek was a lot of fun. Everybody, Toad steals the show. The Blue Star is great, but Mario and Luigi really don't have much to do. And I know we kind of make a lot of Luigi's personality. Sometimes he's scared of stuff. So that was all there, but it does sound a little silly to be like, there was no real arc for these characters in a movie like this. But at the same time, as we'll talk about later, so many other animated and family movies do have meaningful character arcs. And I felt that this movie, at the end, I kind of just got up and said, oh, okay, all right. Like, I don't know why we're using the same structure as the 93 Super Mario Brothers movie, where we start in New York, get sucked in the warp pipe, and we come out, and then we go back to New York and have the... It was almost the exact same beginning and ending outside of meeting his family, which is odd. I liked parts of it because I was like, okay, cool. We are sort of leaning into an Italian family in New York. However, this isn't part of any of the Mario lore to the point where I researched it today, because I had to know if I've been wrong all my life or if there's just pieces I don't know. And originally, as I'm sure most people listening know, Mario was Jumpman in the Donkey Kong arcade game, his first appearance. No name. Originally, Shigeru Miyamoto wanted him to just cameo in things and call him Mr. Video. He was a construction worker. Then when they made Mario Brothers, the arcade game, they made him a plumber simply because the game took place underground. And then once he did that, he was just like, let's also make him Italian. Why not? Sure, he can be from New York. Right. And outside of that thread, if you go to like the first Super Mario Brothers game, that story is just Bowser showed up. He's going to use dark magic to turn the Toads into Koopas and I almost said Gremlins, Koopas and Goombas, which makes that game much darker. And Mario's just like, I got to go do stuff. And Mario 64, he just shows up at the top of that warp pipe and just runs off.
Yeah.
So I don't know why both movies that we've gotten and the Super Mario Brothers Super Show have imposed this on us so deeply. And why then so many fans are like, well, he's got to be Italian and he's got to be in New York. And there's an old web series called There Will Be Brawl, where somebody calls him a plumber, this, you know, fan made thing from years ago. And Mario starts beating up whoever it is. It has a whole like, have I been a doctor? Have I been a chef? Have you ever seen a plunger in my hands? And I was like, I love it. That's great. Like, this is all true. Fantastic.
He's been a referee for Punch Out. He's been a doctor. Like, yeah, we've never actually seen a plunger or him do anything plumber-esque until this film exists. I think my biggest issue with the whole New York aspect of this is that I sat there for the first time, whereas at least with the live actions, because of the actors, you can kind of guess their age. I'm sitting here in the animated world, and because of the way that his parents and his family treat them, I don't have a bearing on how old Mario and Luigi are supposed to be. And I sat there, and I know it's not important for the story, but I sat there when it was all said and done, like, wait, are these guys like 20 or are they grown as adults just living in their parents? I don't know what this is. Which leads me to the point where it probably would have just been better just to start them in the Mushroom Kingdom. Like, let's just go from there.
Yeah, it's very interesting in that way. And that kind of brings us into, I think, how it works as an adaptation, because all the other stuff of the movie I liked, I really enjoyed. Action sequences are great. There's some fun 2D. Donkey Kong's a blast. I thought the ending was a little weak, and I thought there wasn't really a theme to grab onto at the end. We just sort of like show up, save the day. And I I guess I just wanted at the same time more and less, because we throw in so many. We're in the Punch-Out Pizzeria and we have all of these arcade games, and now we're on a Mario Kart track and every single upgrade you've ever seen is here. And I was like, I want less of this and I want more substance.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of brings us into how it works as an adaptation, because, like, yes, it's very, I feel like there's so many easy excuses for this movie to go, there's not really that much story to take. And I go, yes and no. I'll start with Mario 64. And I go, well, that's a game that opens with, I've baked a cake for you, come to the castle. You get there, no one's there, all the toads are stuck in the walls, Bowser's already assumed power, and all of this was to, like, lure you in, and you jump in the paintings and see the world. I'm like, well, that alone
is a better story.
Is a great, when you really are like, how fun would it have been if you had run in that castle and it just been like, there's no one here.
Yeah.
What a cool thing to do. Or you look at any of the RPGs, Paper Mario, Super Mario RPG, Mario and Luigi, they have such a rich story and rich character development, and you get all these crazy things. Or even Super Mario World, we go to a whole new place to meet mm-hmm. Yoshi, where Bowser's like, yeah, I've basically, like, kidnapped all these dinosaurs, and right. like my kids are running amok, so take that. Mario Brothers 3, which may or may not be a stage play, is a lot of, like, I've kidnapped every single king.
Mm-hmm.
Go save them. So there's a lot more in there than just, like, Bowser got a star and he's coming back to basically propose to Princess Peach. Let's go. It was fun to see him in the Super Mario Odyssey tux. It was fun to see him do the song. A lot of fun stuff. But I kind of was like, there's a lot more meat that we can do here. And there is the Bowser crush storyline in Paper Mario, which is interesting, because I would have liked to have seen that dynamic when you take it like, oh, we're trying to avoid the damsel in distress trope.
Yeah.
So we have Peach do a lot more. Like, I get that. I want Peach to do a lot more.
Yeah.
I think it's, I was recently at a Super Mario Brothers opera that was in North Hollywood, and a little girl in line to get snacks next to me pointed out somebody's shirt and was like, that guy's shirt doesn't have Peach on it. That's insane. I was like, you're right. It is insane. So we got, yes. Yes to more Peach in the movie.
Yeah.
However, I would have really dug what we do in that game where she's playable and we get to explore this dungeon and sneak around guards and learn all these things about Bowser. And I was like, that would have been a really fun way. We've already fought this trope in these games, so let's really do it.
Yeah. I mean, we get, like, Mario 2 gives her a personality. I think there are many, many times where Princess, either Daisy or Peach, whichever one we're using, does find a way to sort of get some type of personality. It just seems like this game, in this movie, for the first half, because she's going through the explanation of what this world means and how all this means to Mario, it is. And in the third act, we're kind of like, cool, you're going to go off to the side and we got to just save you. Even though they do give her that moment where she gets the ice flower and goes off, it's still about
that her. Was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of, when I look at it as an adaptation of the games, a part of me is like, man, they really got the look and feel down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just missing the heart and the fun and the soul. And there's time. Like, we can, like we can let it cook. Maybe 2, 3, 4. We're going to dig these forever now.
Yeah.
But
I think for you and I, I'm using Sonic as sort of the blueprint. And even though Sonic has live action in half, there's a lot more heart and there's just a lot more care and love that's put into both of those films, especially the second one. The second one feels like a Sonic game. By the way, we're also still continuing what we did with the first one, but it's like, oh, the heart and energy that they put into that is now fully in. And maybe we get there with Mario, because I think Sonic 1 and Mario 1 kind of compare a little bit more. But even that first Sonic game had more, there was at least a lesson to be learned. There isn't a lesson really that I learned in this Mario game other than, like, cool, Nintendo's cool.
Yeah, and he keeps saying, like, you know, together nothing can hurt us. I'm like, I guess. I don't know that that's really that's also not, like, a growing theme, because you say it right away and you say it again.
And then you're right, and he's been 80% of this film not together. So I was like, it doesn't really resonate with this movie.
And I also think, you know, we then hang it on that laurel of, like, well, it's for kids. It's a family movie. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, that's true. I understand, we understand audiences. We understand a target audience. And sometimes we're not that target audience.
Yeah.
It is, however, insane to argue that there aren't older fans of this franchise, not unlike the multi-generational Italian family we meet. My dad is interested in this franchise. I am. My mom. Everybody I know is just like, yeah, I'm going to go see the Mario movie.
Yeah. So, I think everybody of every generation sort of has their, what they consider to be their Mario, or like, oh, this, the Mario, my old school Mario is my this and this. And you're like, oh, cool. That dates me, but sure. Mine is Mario, like you got like Mario 1, Mario 3. Some people it's Galaxy, some people it's Sunshine, but they all have their version of Mario that sort of takes place. So I, while it is a, it's a evergreen, it's a, it continues on. Mario has kind of gone on and on and on forever. So to say that adults shouldn't have something that sort of speaks to them is sort of a, it's a weak way to sort of go about this. If you're,
it's that. Yeah, it's not a very challenging way to look at it. Yeah. I think it's really easy because I have no issue. Well, if you walk out of a movie and are like, that was a good time. I walked out of this movie and had a good time. I enjoyed the movie.
Correct.
I just want a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And when I look at other animated movies, we've talked about Sonic, but Detective Pikachu, TMNT, Spider-Verse, How to Train Your Dragon, everything Pixar has made.
It's entire category. Yeah.
It's insane to say like, well, it's just a family movie. Why are you being so critical when I can go, because Puss in Boots got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and has an incredibly meaningful storyline. And this is just like, it's fun to walk around the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
This it, which it is. It's a great time. I love seeing Cranky Kong. I loved the blue shell on the racetrack. I liked seeing all the Mario Kart stuff. But a small part of me also was like, guys, you both made the safest movie and also tried to cram in everything you could. We have, and I get it. Mario's now existed so long that me being like, where's the Tanuki suit is silly. But it was like, we see the yellow cape in the commercial. He gets the mushroom. He gets the shrinking mushroom. Cat Mario is in this movie. We do Mario Kart. There's Mike Tyson photos behind him. He's playing a Nintendo Entertainment System, which implies that in this universe, Nintendo exists. And so like, are we also going to steal from the 93?
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that was also the ending for the 93 movie that never got put up there, where they were going to have people from Nintendo come and make the video game. And I was like, so why are we remaking the 1993 Super Mario Brothers movie? Why are we doing that? It even ends with a ba-bomb in the climax, but differently. Mm-hmm. I just kept being like, this is crazy. We just remade this movie. We ending it the same way.
There are so many. I mean, we said it. There's so many kids films that I think the Kung Fu Pandas, the house, like there are tons of franchises that just do a lot better job of speaking to both the parents and the kids, but also giving a message where the parents can kind of like, this is what this film was telling you. This is what this film was telling you. When people leave this theater, like, yeah, that was fun. That's all I got. That's it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I got very excited when I saw the Yoshi egg and heard his voice at the end. Spoiler alert, but one of the popular characters is going to be in the sequel. However, we leave that egg in New York, and a part of me is like, is he just going to be like a giant Godzilla monster that we have to stop, or is he going to have a little personality? Like, what are we going to do here? Because Yoshi is many things, but he is not a villain.
Yeah.
So that'll be a curious way to go about that. I also, in terms of them putting in so much, we do this like Indiana Jones montage of all these different worlds. And I was like, well, this is what I want you to spend time in each of these. There's like, why not give me a MacGuffin in everywhere like we do in these games? Get a star in each world. Like we could have done a little bit more, but I mean, $204 million domestically. We're going to get these movies now until...
I mean, yeah. This we is die. What, three... Why? Like, this is insanity. This is the biggest thing they've had. And a part of that is, like we've talked about, this is an evergreen property. This is a property that speaks to so many people on so many different levels, especially when we start entering in the international market with Japan and China. Like, obviously, Nintendo's going to kill over there. This is a box office smash. And the way that April is going, there's nothing to slow this down.
Oh, it belongs to Mario. Yeah. April belongs to it until like, I mean, Renfield will be good, but it's not going to take away from it. And then Evil Dead Rises will make its money, but that's not going to have the widest appeal like this does. This is going to coast until Guardian shows up.
Correct. Which is, I don't know if that's what they were planning, if that's what they were, but it's smart. It's smart. And I think it works in, like, my wife who went with us to see it, she loved it. There's not a bad bone in her body. For a general audience who's not as critical as I am, she's like, no, I had a good time. It did the things that I wanted Nintendo stuff to do. It gave me the Mario Kart, gave me Donkey Kong. I didn't know he was going to be in it. I was happy. She's happy in all of that stuff. Me, who sometimes I got to dig a little bit deeper, I don't think when I see movies like Detective Pikachu, or when I see video game properties like Last of Us, now granted, they're not the same, they're not one-on-one, but when you see things where they take some of the heart and actually tell me a story beat of it, I appreciate that more, as opposed to just giving me the greatest hits of whatever the property is.
Yeah. Yep. And I really hope that when we start getting down the chain to, like, the Metroids and the Zeldas and some of these other ones, that we start to fine tune this, which we will. I mean, we saw the same thing with comic book movies. I know I'm seeing a lot of people now who are like, oh, the video game adaptation is next. And a part of me is like, yeah, we've been on that. We've said that on this show 1,000 times.
Yeah.
They've also made 10 Resident Evil movies.
I was about to say, and they've been at this for a while. Like, we've had the Resident Evils. We had the Max Paynes. Like, this isn't something Doom exists. Like, this isn't something they've all of a sudden just started trying to do. They tried this, and it's failed so many times that now Last of Us and Mario are the two that have sort of succeeded in this, and Uncharted to an extent. Have sort of succeeded at this, that then now people are like, oh, the video game movies. I'm like, this has been happening.
It's almost like when people, like, we give Blade a lot of credit, rightfully so. Yeah. But even when people are like, Blade was the first superhero, I'm like, no. Superman, Batman, Donner, the Incredible Hulk on television. Right. Like, yeah. We've been on this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every now and then, I saw so many tweets today that were like, between Last of Us and Mario is the next trend video. Of course it is. Detective Pikachu made a ton of money. Uncharted made a ton of money. We've been on this.
I do think it is important, though, to note that, like, the difference between comics and games, though, is that comics typically have decades of, like, of literature that sort of people have kind of grown up with, and that gaming typically has a 1 or 2 year piece that they have, and it's not as much of an installed base that some of the comics have. And I also think that the big thing between comics and gaming is the medium. Comics, you're reading, and when you watch a movie, you're also as a passive person that is doing it. When you're a gamer, you're in control of a lot of that. So sometimes when you're in control of it, and then you're watching someone do it, and you don't have the connection that they normally have. So that's why I think Mario is assuming that if you were controlling this, if you were playing that movie and in control of it, you probably would have the energy. You and I would be like, oh, this is great. But because it's just like cute, great images on screen, and you're not playing it, you're like, oh, well, I guess that's fine. Sure. You don't have the attachment that you normally would have if you do most video game properties.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. We're going to get more. I'm sure tomorrow we're going to wake up to Luigi's Mansion and Mario 2 and They're Paper Mario and Punch-Out and Sonic. Like,
Toad had a game of game 2. Like, we're going to crank.
Captain Toad.
Yeah, we're going to crank all these out.
Oh, yeah. I'm here for all of it. I 100% am. I just really hope that they hear a lot of this feedback they're getting, because we are not the only two people being like, I had fun, but, like, come on. Like, let's.
I like a little bit more out of even the animated stuff. I want a little bit more. I've grown in this Pixar world. I know we can do better with this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's whenever someone's like, it's a family movie. I'm like, right. So it was like Iron Man in a way. So yeah, I don't know why we're.
And I know Pixar is like the art house of this. So let's not say Pixar. Let's use some of the other ones. Like,
all right. Said, like, DreamWorks. Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek, the Shrek's the
Puss. We had to create an Oscar category for Shrek.
Panda. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. They exist.
Oh, I don't know. I'm like, yeah. Is that why there's so many millennial adults still watching these cartoons? Like, right. Come on now.
Yeah.
No one's asking for an R-rated Mario movie. I'm asking for a better script.
Yeah, like, that's all I want.
All right, guys, that's been our show. Thank you so much for listening or watching. Of course, you can leave a review, leave a comment, let us know what you think. If we're just insane for expecting more from the things we love, you can follow us on Twitter at Hollywood ADI, on TikTok at Hollywood Already Did It. I'm at, as always, Blake, and Terrence is at Terrence Tatum. And we will be back closer to the end of the month for Evil Dead Rises, a film that will not be for children. Mm-hmm. And we'll see everybody later.
Later.